The first thing I want to do is I want to do a shameless plug. With Gary Graff's help, under the name of Asher High Publishing, I have put out a small booklet of poetry. And this is not the first time you've heard this, but thank you. And it's called Perfect Mess, The Poetry of Stephen McGarry. That's available online at Amazon. Yeah? Do you have that? She got it. Okay. We have one person. We have a couple people who bought it. That's great. Well, there's about 32-something like that pieces of poetry, and these things came to me during a period of time when I really needed God to pull me through. And that's exactly what he used these poems to do. He would just feed me in my soul, in my spirit, and he kept me alive. Really, I mean, that sounds overdramatic, but he kept me alive in here. And so I was praying, and I heard very distinctly that I'm supposed to give this to you, Dave. Yeah, it's signed by the president and everything. So, but it's got my I autographed it, and there's a word in there for you, just for you. So I encourage everybody. You know, even if you don't like poetry, it's a good place to start. So, but anyway, thank you, Gary, and thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. We're going to talk a little bit about identity today, and I know it's not a new subject. It's something we talk a lot about, or at least it feels like to me like we talk a lot about it. And I think there's a reason for that, and it's because it's so critical. It's so important for us to know who we are. Right? We've got so many entities, so many powers, so many principalities. We've got so many people, so many things out there that want to identify us a certain way according to how they see things, how the world sees things. And so it's important for us to know who we are. I just want to start out by saying that God and the devil have something in common. They have one thing in common. I don't know, you might be able to find other things, but the one thing I know that they have in common is they both know who you are. See, God knows who you are, and the devil knows who you are. One of them wants to hide who you are. He wants to keep you from who you are. He wants to show you who you're not. The enemy wants to show you who you are not. So that way, he's trying to keep you from ever discovering and really coming into the fullness of who you are. And the other one, God, see, let me back up. The devil wants to show you who you're not because he's trying to justify himself. He shows you your sin. He shows you your mess ups. He shows you your faults. He shows you your shortcomings. So that way he can justify himself. And he can say, look, see, they're messed up. That's the identity he wants to show you. He wants to justify himself by doing that. Are you with me? And God wants to justify you by what he does. The devil wants to justify himself by showing you what you do wrong. God justifies you by showing you what he's done. They both know who you are. Sometimes when we say, well, we know who you really are, you know, people go, oh, you mean you know about that? Or you know about that? Oh. Well, yeah, God knows about all of that. And he's the one who decides who you are. Yeah. God knows deep down the unseen you. He knows the one that you know. Right? He knows the one that you think you know. But he also knows what he made you to be. He also knows who he's making you to be. He's conforming you into the image of Christ. God knows better who you are and what you are. And he celebrates you. He knows who you really are and he celebrates you. He knows who you're becoming and he celebrates you. Is that too hard to believe? That's not too hard to believe because God is good. And he's good all the time. He celebrates you, warts and all. Don't raise your hand, but if you have warts, he celebrates you. But you know what I mean? He celebrates every aspect of who you are because he created you. You're the apple of his eye. You're the apple of his eye. When he sees you, he falls in love all over again. When he sees you and hears you shout and laugh and get boisterous in the Lord, he falls in love all over again. He says, that's my girl. That's my man right there. Look at him praising me. He's not afraid. He's not ashamed. He's not embarrassed to lift his hands. He's not embarrassed of me, God says. So God is the one who gives you your identity. And your identity, because God is the one who gives you your identity, it doesn't change day by day. Hear me now. Your identity does not change in God with the wind. On your worst day, you are in Christ. On your worst day, you are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. You are saved, sanctified, and on your way to heaven. On your worst day. On your best day, you are saved, sanctified, and on your way to heaven. Don't get it twisted. It's not all about how great you are. But your identity does not change from day to day. That's good news. See, take it as an example. Abraham, father of the faith, friend of God. Are you with me? He was given a promise. You're going to have a son. In fact, you're going to be the father of many. And all the nations will be blessed by you. And so Abraham's okay. Sounds good. But then time goes on and Abraham's already old when he gets the promise. And the clock is ticking. Tick, 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 25 years, something like that. Tick, 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 nothing's happening. So what does Abraham do? He listens to Sarah. They start getting into the figure it out room. We got to make this happen. Maybe God's wanting us to do something. And so they fall into that, you know, I know nobody else does that. But I'm using them as an example because I can. They get into the figure it out room and they start coming up with answers. Okay, maybe we should do this. Well, you know, Hagar, she is actually technically part of your household. You know, so if she had your baby and she's of childbearing age, then you would have a son. Maybe that's what God wants to do. Well, that was a mistake. They get together, they conspire, Abraham lies with Sarah, with Hagar. A child is born, but it's not the right child. So even though Abraham was called the father of the faith, even though Abraham was called a friend of God, even though Abraham had this promise, he faltered in believing the promise. things got a little bit overextended in his mind. His time clock wasn't, you know, it wasn't matching up. But in the book of Hebrews, it says something different. In Hebrews, it says that he did not waver in faith. It doesn't say anything about, in Hebrews, it doesn't say anything about his mistakes. See, because God is the one in charge of Abraham's identity. It's not the report card that the enemy has. It's not the report card that you hold. See, a lot of times we have a report card on ourselves. We think if we make mistakes or something like that, we have a report card and we check it off. You know, we grade ourselves. We take our own test. We take our own test and we fail ourselves a lot of times. Is it just me? You know, we have this standard or we have this idea of how things are supposed to go. And when we don't match up with it, we fail ourselves in our test. And you know what? That's the wrong mirror. See, we don't hold our report cards. Paul says, I don't care if any of you judge me. He says, I don't even judge myself. He says, wait for the proper time. So God knows who you are. The devil knows about you. He knows about you. He doesn't know you like God does. He knows about you, but he is motivated by jealousy and hopelessness. In his world, making you look bad makes God look bad. Because he's angry. He's jealous. He can never get back what he had. He had an important place in heaven. If you don't know, he was the leader of worship. And then he decided somehow, he got discontented, I guess, but he decided that he needed to be like God. And there was rebellion and he was cast out of heaven. He can't get that back. There's no redemption. There's no repentance. He can't get it back. And when he sees you washed in the blood of Jesus, seated in heavenly places, it tortures him. That's why he comes with accusations and wants to highlight all of your negative actions and wants to remind you of what you did. He wants to say, I know what you did last summer. And I know what you did last fall. And I know what you did last week. And I know what you did yesterday and Friday. I know what you did. And he wants to capitalize on that so he can make you feel bad and make God look bad. That's his focus. But God's focus is, I know what I did 2024 years ago. I took you from darkness into the light. I translated you from death into life. So just lift your hands right now. Father, I thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you have translated us from death to life, God. Thank you, Lord God, that you come and you sup with us every day, God. Lord, you saved us to be with you, God. Thank you, Lord, that we are with you. Thank you, Lord, that it's not by feeling. Lord, we are believers and we believe, God, that you say, we believe what you say, Lord God. Thank you that you say we are yours. If God be for you, who can be against you? If God be for you, who can be against you? We believe you, God, that you are for us. We believe you, God, that we are the apple of your eye. See, the devil is jealous. He can never get back what he had. He is so full of anger and grief and disappointment, and he's trying to justify himself. To who? God's not listening. But he's trying to make himself feel better about it. So if he can point at our faults, it helps them feel better. It's a short-term solution. But he knows who you are. He knows who you really are. He's not going to admit it, but he knows who you really are. He knows that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He knows that you're a new creation. Do you know you're a new creation? He knows you're a new creation. He can't stand it, but he knows you're a new creation. And he's not going to tell you. That's up to God. That's up to us listening to God. That's where we get our identity. See, there's a couple different mirrors. One of them the enemy uses, and the other one God uses. One mirror is the mirror of the world. When we're looking at our identity, when we get our identity by looking at the mirror of the world, letting what we see in the world, and we try to identify with it, we end up with anxiety. We end up with depression. We end up with competition, comparison. When we're looking at the world as our mirror, we're not going to come out ahead. And if we do get celebrated, it's only because we look like them. See, this here is the most important mirror you'll ever find. This is the most important mirror you've ever known, that you'll ever know, is right here. And it's the right mirror. When you look into the mirror of God's word, you don't need any other reflections. You have a perfect picture of who he made you. I'm going to give you some examples. You are being made in the image of Christ. You are a divine partaker of the divine nature. Let's see. You are the dwelling place of God. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are a new creation. Nothing like you has ever been seen before. You're a friend of God. That's what you get when you look in the right mirror. I want you to repeat these things after me. Say, I am a dearly loved child. I cannot be separated from God. Say it again. I cannot be separated from God. Neither height nor depth or anything. Nothing can separate me from God. Not even me. Here's a big one. You look in this mirror and it'll tell you, you're born of God. Who wants to be born of God? Not by your own will. It didn't happen that way. It's already done. You're born of God. And that doesn't change. That doesn't change with the wind. And it doesn't change because of your report card or the devil's report card. God's the one who holds your report card. And he's already convened. He's the one who's held court. And he slams the gavel down and he says, free. Not guilty. Not condemned. One more confession. Every day is a new day. I am made brand new every day. See, did you know that the mercies of God are made new every day? Do you know that every day is a fresh start? Yesterday is gone. today is what we got, right? I'm making my own song up, but we need to live in the moment. Only Richard would encourage me to sing. The mirror of the world brings rejection. Pride of life brings comparison, anxiety. The mirror of God's word brings peace, wisdom, patience, generosity, thankfulness. So I'm just going to give you three helps. There are three habits about knowing who you are in Christ, okay? Is that okay? I'm just going to give you three helps, and I'm just here to help somebody. So the first help that I want to suggest to you is that we need to cultivate who God said we are. It means we need to plant the words of identity in our hearts. I mean, just say it right now. Thank you, Captain Obvious, right? Thank you, Captain Obvious, because, I mean, we're a fairly mature crowd. We shouldn't need to, well, I shouldn't say shouldn't. We do need to be told again and again. I don't know about you, but I know about me. I need to have it repeated. Even when I think I've got it. Okay, God, I got it. I got it. I heard you. Okay. A little bit further down the road, I might not have it because I haven't been cultivating it in my heart. I haven't been watering the seeds. I haven't been taking it seriously. I've been busy with other things, and next thing you know, you're further down the road and you haven't even thought about it. You haven't even thought about who you are. You haven't thought about praying for the next person. You haven't thought about, you know, who can I pray for? Or is that person, oh, that person's with a cast, do I, you know, we just keep going about our business and we forget the word that was planted in us. So we need to cultivate. We need to take that word and plant it in us, the word of our identity in Christ. Are you guys following me? Thank you. Thank you. The next help in knowing who you are in Christ is agreement. We need to agree with what God says about us. I mean, it's one thing for us to say, okay, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I hear that, okay. Plant it in there. Holy Spirit, guide me. Help me to let that become and bear fruit in me. And then we need to agree with it. I mean, you know, sometimes the word of God gives you an identity word and it just seems a little bit over the top. You think, that can't be me. What do you mean I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus? What do you mean I'm holy? You know, I don't feel holy. But we have to agree with what God says. Otherwise, it's just academic. We have to take that word and we have to attach faith to it. Faith has a purpose. We attach faith to that word that God gives us. Yes, I am holy and dearly loved. We have to attach faith to it. We have to agree with it. The word says in James 1:21, therefore, get rid of all moral filth and humbly accept the word planted in you. Agreeing with what God says takes humility. It's when we don't agree with what he says, we say, oh, you know, that's not me. I'm not all that. That's not humility. That's a form of pride. When you decide that your judgment on the matter is better than God's. When you put God's opinion behind your own. That's not humility. When God says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, and you say, I can't do anything right, whose opinion are you exalting? I'm sorry, you know, I'm. This lesson is for me. And you just happen to be in the room. It takes humility to agree with what God says. If he says we're chosen and holy, guess what? You're chosen and holy. And guess what? That doesn't change. There isn't a, God isn't coming behind you and saying, oh, you know, I wasn't anticipating that. He's not coming behind you and saying, oh, you know, you took a left and that was supposed to be a right and you're out. He said it, it's done. Do you know that Jesus said it's finished? Do you know that had wide-ranging ramifications? Do you know that he said when it's finished, he said it's all finished. He didn't finish it halfway. I don't know if I'm making sense, but this, when Jesus said it's finished, he meant your past sins are forgiven. But he didn't stop there. He didn't stop at the sins up until the point of, you know, what's the date today? It's the 29th. You know, he didn't look down his periscope and say, okay, well, we're going to go with it until that point. He did it through all time. So your future sins, not that you're going to do them, okay? But your sins, past, present, and future, are all taken care of. Nobody talks about that too much. I don't hear that too much, but it's the real thing. If we're not in agreement, if we can't agree with what God says about us, it doesn't change our identity. We're still in Christ, the hope of glory. We are still in Christ. Our identity doesn't change, even though we're not able to wrap our minds around it or get into agreement with it. We're still sons and daughters of God. It doesn't change our identity, but it might change your trajectory. God doesn't cancel you out after, you know, the 51st sin. Or the second time that you had a wrong belief. It doesn't cancel you out when you don't get it. But when you don't get it, you'll end up someplace he doesn't intend you to be. You'll end up living an inauthentic life. You see, the life of Christ in you, that's the authentic life. Going from glory to glory, faith to faith, that's the authentic life. Anything else is inauthentic. It's not the real thing. Not for you. If you've named the name of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, anything else is a fake life. Can I say it like that? It's not real. Your authenticity is to be one with God. Do you know that Jesus said that you're one with him? He told the Father in a prayer, he said, that they may be one in me and I in you. You're one with God. So we need to agree with what God says, and we need to cast down everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Everything that tries to speak otherwise, we just need to cast it down. That's why I say these are habits. These are suggestions that are habits. That's what I'm telling you. We need to cultivate our identity. We need to cultivate and get it and learn it. And then we need to agree with it and cast down whatever exalts itself against it. When that negative report comes, or when you see something wrong in you, And the devil's right there saying, ah, I see, see that. You need to cast that down. Say, you know what? That's not me. I'm not buying. My identity is I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of God. I am one with God. And then you just turn around and you say, thank you, God, that I am one with you. Thank you, God, that I am without spot or blemish. You're bringing me as the bride of Christ, and there is no blemish in me. Thank you, Father, that you cleanse me daily, Lord, by the blood of Jesus, cleansing me from all unrighteousness. Thank you, Lord God. It's already done. It's happening now, and it's already done. Thank you, Jesus. You just begin agreeing with God again. So we need to cultivate, we need to agree, and we need to ascribe to God who he is. We need to ascribe correctly who God is. Psalm 29, 1 and 2 says, ascribe to the Lord, you heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Is there any heavenly beings in here? Y'all should raise your hand. Ascribe to the Lord, you heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. What does ascribe mean? That means attribute. That means you're making a record of it. You're acknowledging it. Acknowledge the Lord the glory that's due his name. It's pretty hard to keep a firm grasp on who you are in Christ if you don't have the right idea about who God is. So we need to agree with what God says about himself. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, that you are the one who is and was and is to come. Thank you, God, that you are the Alpha and the Omega. Thank you that you are the first and last in my life. Thank you that you are the first and last in the earth, that your word does not come back void. Thank you, Lord God, that you declare and universes jump into existence. You declare and light breaks out. We need to ascribe to God the glory due his name. We need to agree with what God says about himself. What does God say about himself? He says, I'm your Father. He says, I am your God. You will have no other gods before me. So we need to give God credit. Another word for ascribe is we need to credit God with who he is. We need to give God credit. That sounds a little strange, but we need to give God the credit that he's due. Thank you, God, that you saved me. Thank you, God, that you translated me from dark to light. Thank you, God. Nobody else could do that. Nobody would want to do that except you. Thank you that you loved me for me. Loved me enough to do that for me. Got to give God credit for what he's due. He gives you a lot of credit. Right? We had nothing coming. We had no credit coming. It's like you walk into a car dealership, you got no credit. They're going to go, I don't know you, we'll see you later. You got to go. But God gave us a lot of credit. He credits us where we had no business hoping for it. He gives us the kingdom. And we had no money down. We had nothing to invest, and God gave us a full ride. Thank you, Jesus. Just lift your hand and say, thank you, Jesus. We're going to wake up to who we are in Christ. See, that tree out there is groaning right now, waiting for the revelation of the sons and daughters of God. The Bible says all of creation groans in anticipation of the revelation of the sons and daughters of God. All of creation is waiting for you and I to get it, to be revealed, to walk in our identity. And the enemy's working hard to try and keep that from happening, but he's not going to win. The last hint, the last help that I want to suggest is that we need to steward. So we need to cultivate the identity God has given us. We got to look in the right mirror, right? Can you say amen? We got to look in the right mirror. Then we need to agree with it. It's one thing to hear it and know it, but we need to agree with it, embrace it, attach faith. And then finally, we need to steward it. These are all kind of overlapping, you know? But we need to steward it. And steward it means to, you know, part of stewardship is guarding. The word says in Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart, for from it springs the issues of life. You've been given an amazing trust, an amazing gift, worthy of being guarded. It's worthy. The gift that God has given you in who you are and who he is, and the union that is between us, all that God has given us, deserves to be guarded in our heart. And that's really the main place that you have any influence over, is your own heart. So if you're not going to guard it, who else is going to guard it? I'm not taking God out of the picture, but he's asking you, he's saying, guard your heart. Stewardship is what a man does after he says, I believe. An author wrote, after a man says, I believe, then comes the stewardship. Once you say, I believe, you've been translated. You've been changed. Come on with me. You've been changed. And we need to guard that. We need to be stubborn about that. You know, we're stubborn in so many ways. But we need to be stubborn about the gift we've been given. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3 says, how shall we escape if we ignore so great a salvation? We can't ignore the gift. Are you guys all right? I'm just trying to help. So what are we going to do? We've been given this precious charge. We've been given this extreme identity. Being one with Christ is an extreme identity. That's never been seen before. You see, God had many choices of where to take up residence. He waited for thousands of years to take up residence in you. If that's not worth being stubborn about and guarding, I don't know what is. Yeah, right now I want to pray for you. There's somebody in this room that has never quite bought in to the fact that God calls you his beloved. You've never been able to wrap your mind around it and you've never been able to receive it and to let it take hold in your heart because of all the different mirrors that are out there, because of all the identities that the enemy and the world has tried to put on you. Say that you're not enough. Say that you'll never make it. But I'm here to tell you, you're going to make it. You're not just going to make it. You're going to excel. You're going to rise up. And so, Father, I thank you for that individual. I thank you for that person. Hearing the voice of God saying, I will rise up in Christ. I am the beloved. Now, if there's anybody here or if there's anybody listening on the podcast, I want you to know that if you've listened this far, if you've hung with it this far, God is drawing you. It's unmistakable. And believe me, it's irresistible. And if you want to make Jesus your absolute Lord and Savior, if you want to make Jesus your life, and you want to turn from things that have been devouring you and experience freedom in Christ, just say this with me. God, thank you for Jesus. Jesus, thank you for forgiving my sins. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for raising from the grave and living in me. Living for me and living in me. I give you my heart. Come and take up residence. Lead me in the way everlasting. And say amen. If you prayed that prayer, even if you're in here or if you're listening on the podcast, the most amazing thing has happened. God is taking up residence. God is making you a new creation. So thank you, Lord. I lift up all of my friends here, Lord God. I lift up all of those who came today. And I thank you, Lord, that you speak to them from this day forward in ever-increasing measure, Lord, about how much you love them, how much you're with them, how much you're for them, and how great they are in your sight. Thank you that you make yourself great in them, God. You make yourself great in them in ever-increasing ways. That they're able to show forth Christ. That they're able to live and abide in you and feed on your presence, feed on your word. And they're able to come to you and say, thank you, God, for making me and for loving me, for living in me. Jesus' name, amen.